Good morning. My name is Dove, and I am a son of God because of what Jesus has done. And so that is who I am. That's my true identity. I also am a pastor and part-time teacher, and I have six kids and a wonderful wife. Anyways, I'm here. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about fear. And I don't know about your life, my life, I have plenty of worries. I have six kids, so that's six worries. I don't know about any of you, but the reality is your kids are not going to turn out exactly like you thought. And so if you had any expectations, you can probably throw those out. Hopefully there's some real hope of God doing some amazing things in our kids, but it's certainly not going to look like we had in mind. Each one of my kids is so different and unique, and the way that they will respond to God is going to be different than how I would. And I don't know what's coming for them. Certainly sometimes I'm burdened by things in your lives, and certainly I'm burdened by things in the world and events that are happening and my own self. I am burdened by myself. And then the negative of that is if I just carry that as fear, if I just carry that as worry and anxiety, and certainly we all can do that. If you need something to worry about, watch the news for a while. You can probably find something. And so our lives are full of challenges. My life is certainly full of challenges. I do feel the weight, the burden of people around me that I care about, and their lives and how they turn out. I feel a burden for my own self and just the way that I walk with God and will I honor God. I've made some foolish choices in my life, and sometimes those weigh on me from time to time. The reality is we're each going to go through some difficult things in our lives, and we've each already gone through some difficult things in our lives. And so I don't say that to scare you, but I say that as the reality. You are going to go through some difficult things in your life. I am going to go through some difficult things in my life. Ouch. What should we do with that? That's what I want to talk about today. What do we do with that? I think it's so easy just to live in this place of anxiety and worry and the unknown of the future, and yet that's not what God is calling us to. What is God calling us to? What is He asking of us? How can we walk through that in a really amazing way and not just get sunk into a little hole where we hide and just hope everything goes okay and hopefully we'll all die in our sleep someday, but to embrace the challenges and walk into them. So let's pray and just go through some of what God says about that. Thank you, God, for this day. God, even as I talk about these things, like even as I think about people I love dying or myself, as I think about the world and challenges, I can feel some anxiety in me. I feel that fear. And God, I lay that at your feet. God, I give you the fear of my kids and harm that might come to them. I give you the fear of people falling away from you and hating each other. Just lay it at your feet. You are God. You are big enough. You can handle all of it. You know the end already. You are so amazing. I ask that you would move into the fear in our lives and exchange it, that you would replace it with a beautiful trust in you. God, I ask you to do that work this morning. Just ideas won't do it. My ideas don't fill the gap, but you do. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to each one of us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point is just that our greatest spiritual enemies attack us on the inside, not on the outside. And certainly in life, there's so easy to think of all these outward dangers. But the spiritual dangers in our life are actually within us. Some of the greatest places that we get attacked are not physical. They're in the depths of our spirits. And some of those attacks, what they look like, are anger and pride, bitterness, hanging on to this unforgiveness, greed and lust, apathy, shame, fear. Those things are so powerful, but they're not outward things that are attacking us. They're attacks in the inner part of our being. And they're hard to even recognize sometime. And so it's so easy to go into our houses and lock the door and hope nothing will get us. But you go in your house and lock the door, and guess what? Those things are still within you. Those attacks are still within. There's no deadbolt that can lock out fear, or just, I'm going to lock out all the pride in my life. It's something that we have to address within. It's like a spy from an enemy army that's come into our midst and resides with us. And we have to identify it and tear it out, replace it with good. And so exchange, how do we exchange that fear? This morning I thought I would just have some people read. I want to just start with kind of that idea that those enemies are not just outside of us, but within. So would somebody grab James 4, 1 through 3? Thanks, Joe.
What causes quarrels, and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel.
So he's saying, what causes fights? I don't know if there was any Thanksgiving strife in any of your gatherings. There's certainly fights between people. Well, the problem is, you see, my sister, she's just this and this and this, you know. What causes those fights within you? Doesn't it come from within? Doesn't it come from these desires you want and you, but you can't have? So you desire and you covet and you strive and fight, and there's expectations and needs, but it's from within and not these things from without that we can so easily try to block off. Okay, so fear, I think fear is one of those greatest foes that we have. And everybody has fear, all of us. I don't care about the toughest dude you've ever seen. We have fear in our lives. And one of the biggest commands in the Bible is do not fear. So, but you do. So it's like, don't do what everybody does. But instead, it's what do you do in that place of fear? How do we overcome fear? What do we do with it? Because we have it. I wanted to just define fear. I kind of looked up it and I morphed it into this is my definition of fear. Fear is the anticipation of bad or harm. It's just this expectation. I know something bad. I know something hurtful is coming. I know it. It's just this expectation, this anticipation, like here it comes. One of these days, something really bad is going to happen. One of these days, something really painful is going to happen. And so it's this fear. And fear can be really good. When we were in Moab, Holly and I went for a hike in Arches National Park. It was a really beautiful place, and we're kind of on the edge of this cliff on this cool path that was cut out of the rock. And we're walking, we were talking and said, it would be really fun to bring our kids here someday. We said, but there's a couple of our kids we don't want here right now. Because they don't have a healthy fear. They would just be like, oh, it's like a cliff. And they would not fear it. They wouldn't have that. So fear has a useful function in our lives. And that useful function is to be aware of an immediate threat and to be smart enough not to just fall into it. Just fall off the cliff, not to just run and push your sister while you're walking on the cliff. There's a healthiness to this fear. But then there's also this crippling part of fear. And anxiety is just filling our culture. Our culture is full of anxiety. And it's this crippling fear that just says, I know something bad's going to happen. And it becomes crippling when it stops us from doing what we want to actually do. It stops us from living life. It stops us from trusting. It stops us from expressing what God has given for us to walk into. And that's what I'm talking about, that fear. What do we do with that fear, that anxiety that we have? And God's desire is to drive out that fear. His desire is to remove that fear and to replace it with something beautiful. And so that what he wants to replace it with is his love. I don't know if somebody wants to read this next one. It's really long, but 1 John 4:7 through 21.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
All right, so what a powerful section. The emphasis there is talking about loving each other. Why? Because we have been loved so deeply. But it's amazing that section where it says, perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. It's thinking, oh no, I'm going to get it. God's going to let me have it. Something bad is coming down the line. It's just a matter of time. But love drives that out. Because before that, what it says is because the love of God has been shown to us. Because those bad things, that punishment that we deserved has been put on his Son, Jesus. He's taken any punishment, anything that we deserved. I certainly in my life have a sense. You know, I deserve some bad things. If it's just about me, what do I honestly deserve? I deserve some punishment. But the blessing of God is that he put that punishment I deserve on Jesus, and he gave love to me. He gave Jesus' life to me and to anyone who would believe and say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's who he is, and he took my spot. They receive life, and that life is in his Son. They receive his love. What an amazing thing. We can have an expectation of love. Does that mean your life is going to be free from pain? I wish I could say that. But no. But it means that his love is going to come to you in all of those. Even in death, his love will be evident. He will rescue us. He will be with us. He will bring good in the end. He will never leave us or forsake us. So what do we do in those times of anxiety? What is What does God ask us to do? I think one that I see as common is just to say, well, God said not to fear, so I'm just going to pretend like I'm not afraid. So, no, there's no enemy in my life. There's nothing. There's no anxiety. There's no fear. It doesn't exist. And we just bury it, and we just tell everybody, put on a nice face. We even tell ourselves, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I have no anxiety. Everything's good. Everything's going to work out. And I think that what God is asking us to do is something different than that. Not just to ignore this, what is inside of us, but to be honest with it, but then to bring it to Him, to dump it on Him in this worshipful prayer. Just, here it is. This is what I got. This is the reality of what's in my life, in my heart. Bam, have it. I'm bringing it to you in confidence of your love. Let's look at a couple verses on that. I love these verses. These have been such a blessing in my life. If somebody will get Psalm 55:22.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Thank you. What an awesome verse. Cast your burdens on the Lord. When we were in Moab, we were asked to do an exercise just with our spouses. And just to write down some of the burdens that we had in our lives. We wrote down them, and then we just shared them with the other person, not so they could carry them. Here's my burdens here, let me have yours. Let's both carry them. But then to pray for each other and just cast them on God. That's what we're called to do, is cast those burdens. Not like, here, you take part, God, and I'll take the other part. But cast them, give them to Him. He can carry them. But it's not just saying, I don't have any burdens, saying, yeah, I got some burdens. I'm anxious. Here they are. Have them. Because He sustains us. I love that word. He sustains us. He carries us. He preserves us. He keeps our life going. He won't let us get crushed. Okay, and then will somebody grab 1 Peter 5:7 after that? Anybody?
Casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you.
That's a good verse. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. That's cool. If you don't believe He cares for you, you won't do it, but God cares for you. I hope you hear that. God cares for what is going on in your life. He cares for the big things, and He cares for the little details. He cares about the anxiety in your life. He cares about the things you struggle with. He cares about the conflict you have with others. He cares about anything that stresses you. And it says, cast your anxieties on Him. For me, I find sometimes it's actually helpful to write them down. When I cast them, just, okay, here's what I'm anxious about. Just start making a list. And I give it to you. You care. You care about it. Here it is. You can handle it. And to let go of them, to give them up. Because sometimes they just smolder. They just kind of simmer in the like undergrowth of our life. There's just little fire of anxiety just keeps burning and burning as we go on our life. But it's like burning up some of these good things. Just kind of gently smoldering. No, I'm not really anxious. Sometimes I don't even know why I'm anxious. Have you ever felt anxious and you don't even know why? It's like, I'm just anxious about something or nothing or I don't know what it is. A lot of times when I stop and process it, what am I anxious about? I'm anxious about this. Here it is, God. You care for me. The next one adds another piece to it that's really powerful. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, after that, somebody.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So, another really great memory verse. Don't worry about anything. And again, I think our tendency is like, if I'm not supposed to worry about anything, then I shouldn't admit that I'm actually worrying about something. What he's saying is, when you worry about something, stop worrying about it. Do something with it. And so what he prescribes there, he says, don't be anxious, don't worry. Instead, by prayer and petition mixed with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I had to look up, because I've always thought that was kind of interesting. By prayer and petition. Petition is just asking God for something. So to me, when I first read it, it's like, by prayer and petition, by asking and by asking, it's like, well, what's the difference between prayer and petition? And so the word, I looked it up just to kind of look into that. The word prayer there is kind of this worship. It's this devotion through worship and petition. Not just asking and asking, but by worshiping God, you can handle this. God, you're big. You formed the entire universe. Certainly you can see and take care of me. Certainly you have good. You sent your Son into this world to give me life. Certainly you care about this. God, you are amazing. Look at what you formed. Look at my own body. I worship you. And so I like that. I think it adds such a beautiful thing by worship, by acknowledging that God can handle it, and then asking. Don't be afraid to ask. This is where I need help. Please help me. This is what I'm anxious about. Help me with this. I'm giving it to you. And with thanksgiving, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you. And there's kind of a promise after that. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Not because you don't have any fear, but because you gave that fear to Him. And in the middle of that, He met you in it and gave you peace. And I have seen that in my life. When I dump my burdens on God and I empty them all out. Wait, there's one more. Okay, there's another one. I think that's it. Wait, one more. All right, I think that's it. Yeah, I think you could handle that, God. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the people around me that love me and come to a place of peace and a place of appreciation, a place of thanksgiving by going through that. And I encourage all of us, don't be afraid to dump those things on God. God doesn't think you're weak. Well, He already knows you are. He's not like, that was too weak. You need to toughen up and handle that stuff. He says, cast it on Him. Give it to Him. So that you can walk in His peace. So you can walk in His strength. You can walk in confidence. So that you can, for me today, walk here and say, I didn't even finish my PowerPoint. I am not as confident in myself as I would like to be. But God's sufficient. I have peace. He can do what He wants to do. All right, so we will all have trials. We're all going to go through some difficult things. I hope we support each other in those. Walk with each other in those. Help each other bring those burdens to God. And I think that is a powerful place. If you're really burdened, I encourage you to share those with somebody. And for me, it's actually helpful to tell somebody ahead of time, please don't try to fix any of these. I don't know why that's hard for me. Just hear them and pray for me. That helps me a lot. Some people are different. Please ask. If you want advice, say, I got all these burdens. Give me some advice. I don't know what to do. But a lot of times, I don't think we even need advice. It's just like, can I just share with you the burden in my life and have you pray for me and help me just give it to God because it's weighing down on me. The pain in the world, the pain in our lives, the trials that we go through are not the actual enemy. They should not keep us in fear. Fear is a greater enemy than the difficulties that we will go through. So in those, God is our help. That is my hope. God is our help. I love Psalm 118. Reminds you of God and reminds you of who's on your side.
Psalm 118.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say,
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say,
His steadfast love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
His steadfast love endures forever.
Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
Isn't that good? His love endures forever. All right. Let's actually say that. So, what does it say? Let the house of Israel say, His love endures forever. So, I'm going to have you guys say that. His love endures forever. Let the people of the Rio say, Amen. Let the women here say, let the men here say, let those over 40 say, let those under 40 say, Amen. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. May we really embrace that. May we give our fears, may we give our anxieties, and let them be replaced with His love endures forever. His love endures forever. In the middle of the trials that we will go through, His love endures forever. In the middle of the trials that we've already gone through, His love endures forever. In the middle of the trials that people around us are going through, His love endures forever. May those trials purify us and refine us to know that His love endures forever. And may they not pull us away from the God who loves us. To me, this is the definition of trust. So fear is that anticipation of bad or harm. Trust is the anticipation of good. Good is going to come in your life. It is. Because God's love endures forever. It is that trust, it's that anticipation. I will be cared for no matter what I go through. Even in the middle of pain, I will be cared for. There will be good from God in the middle of that. Whatever comes. I was trying to put this into one sentence, but this is what I'm trying to say today. Hopefully you got what I was trying to say. But what I'm saying is because God loves us, we can stop hiding in a hole of self-preservation, which is fear, and live in the light of God's love. We can come out of that hole and anticipate God has good things. Even if it hurts, God is doing great things. I'm going to walk into Him, trusting Him. Let us not carry our worry, but let us dump it on a God who's big enough to take it and who loves us eternally, not just in this life, but into the next. Release our fear. Trust His love. Pour out the anxiety that we might be filled with His peace. Doesn't that sound good? That's a beautiful thing in my life. When we anticipate the threat of pain, may we acknowledge it and give it to God in worshipful prayer, acknowledging how awesome He is, asking Him for help, and then may we anticipate good. And I want to ask you if there's anything on your heart that's you're just anxious about, to take a time and just kind of give that to God. Here's what I'm anxious. If you want to write it down. If you want to ask somebody next to you to pray for you, that would be awesome. But just if there's anything where you're kind of caught up in that anxiety, dump it and then just come and remember the love that's been given you. All right. So God, thank you. Thank you that you are big enough to handle all of our anxieties. Thank you that you handle our futures and you're big enough to provide for our needs and big enough in the decisions that plague us every day that we have to decide and in the people that we're worried about and concerned. Thank you that you can take all those. God, I give you the people on our hearts that are going through trials that we are burdened for. Ask for your help in their lives. Ask that you would sustain them and that they would feel your presence and love, that you would heal and provide. Thank you, God, for our loved ones, our kids and families. We ask for a blessing in them, that they would reach out for you and know you, that they would walk on your path. Thank you for your love. We celebrate your love. We celebrate what you've done for us. Thank you so much, Jesus, for giving your life that we could enjoy life. In your name, amen.